I want to preach about the gift. As we mentioned, we've got Gift Sunday, and there's nothing but cakes out there for everybody, and we're certainly glad that you get to take those. But I want to preach about the gift, and of course, the gift of God is eternal life, the Bible says in the book of Romans. But I'm going to look at Luke chapter number 2. And we may get pretty familiar with this by the time the season's over, but that's the way it goes. Luke chapter 2, verse number 11. As you find your place in Luke 2, I'm going to tell you, I usually tell a story, tell a joke, but this isn't a joke, this actually happened. This pastor, he got done preaching his message, and he had a mic like I do, and he got done, walked off toward his wife. They were going to go out in the lobby and greet people as they left, and he didn't realize his mic wasn't turned off, and he said, "Wow, that was rough." And his wife looked at him and it's like, you know, like, "Do you know what you just said? Did you just say that out loud?" And so he then realized what he said because he could hear it over the PA system as well. So he just owned the moment, went back up to the pulpit, and he said, "Well, church, I just want you to know you're not the only one that thinks that about my sermons." So I feel his pain. Sometimes it happens as well. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says that "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I heard about this story of the pastor. He told the story. This was true as well. It was after Christmas time, and he found a present that was for him. It had his name on it, all wrapped, bow, and everything. And it was after the celebration, though, and it didn't mean near as much, but it just didn't get exchanged. And he said, "You know, that's about," the pastor said, "that God just sort of impressed upon his heart." And he went back and told his church after that. He said, "It's about like salvation. The Lord provided salvation for us. The Lord has given a home in heaven. He's given this forgiveness of sin. He's given us the gift of God, his eternal life." They said many people, they just will not accept it. They just won't receive it. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about gift giving, and as we give back and forth to giving one another, I think of these couple things about gifts. Gifts do reveal love, obviously, in some regard. That person cares about you, it shows a bit of love, and unless you're re-gifting from something you got last year, it shows that it cost you something to give somebody a gift. You had to go out and buy it, you had to give your money for it, it cost them something. But then if it's going to have meaning, somebody has to receive it and give that gift. And if you've been in that situation where you've tried to give somebody say, "Oh, no, I don't want it." Well, it certainly doesn't have meaning because it has to be received. And I think about this as we look at the gift that was laid in the manger. We're going to celebrate, and many of us will get and give gifts. Some people say, "Nah, I'm past that. I just do this or whatnot," and fine. But the majority of the people in this room will get and give gifts. You may not be like all the kids that wake up at 4 a.m. and go bother their brother and their parents or whoever else, but kids are still going to wake up at 4 a.m. Adults are still going to pretend like they're asleep. And then as you gather around and everybody's opening things up, dad's still going to look at mom and say, "Are you sure you got in budget on that?" And she's going to say, "Yeah, my budget, not your budget, but yeah, I'm in somebody's budget." And dad's then at that point, he's looking intently at what kids are opening. Why? Because he doesn't know what they're getting either, just like the kids don't know, because mom usually does all the buying. And I think about that gift giving back and forth, and on this instance, the gift was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, we know about the swaddling clothes, of course. We've heard it all of our lives. If you've grown up and went to Christmas celebrations and pageants and things, we think about those swaddling clothes. But there is another aspect to that. There, shepherds were told to find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And according to Alfred Edersheim, he was a Hebrew scholar, that a lot of some of the flocks around Bethlehem, at least in a couple of centuries after that, would have been not raising ordinary sheep, but many times sheep that would have been used in the temple as they would provide them for the sacrificial use. And I'm told that sometimes they would take those lambs, and because they were needed to be free of defects and free of any blemishes, in Exodus chapter 12, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year." Some reports say that they would take those lambs after they were born, and if they were free of blemish and they were the year of the lamb of the first year, they would wrap them in swaddling clothes sometimes to keep them from getting damaged and get injured. But some say those things. But regardless of that, we know for sure that the angels were told by, or the angels told rather, the shepherds to go and find this young child, find this babe that's wrapped in swaddling clothes, long, narrow strips, usually of linen, but they would wrap that baby and kind of swaddle them there like that to prevent them from getting startled, and then just to kind of mimic how they were in the womb, and they were safe and protected. And I guess it's more of a devotional thought, but just to think of all the gifts that people wrap up this time of year, the most important gift was wrapped in strips of cloth and not in your favorite paper or some pretty bow or anything, but the best gift was the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about a couple of things, and I like just to draw your attention to a few of them as we look about the gift. In verse number 11, would you look back there? I want you to see the origin of the gift, because it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior is one that comes to rescue. We know what somebody, if they saved your life, if you were drowning, they had to come where you were and get you out of there, or send something to where you are, or throw something where you are. They were your Savior. Small s. They had to come and help you in the current condition that you were in. Well, the scripture says that a Savior, capital S, the Savior, the origin of this gift was heaven. The Savior left heaven's glory and came down, was born amongst men, and so that he might live and die for us. In Isaiah chapter 7, the Bible says, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign." And so I think about the origin of this gift is not just that somebody came up with a good idea, but instead God himself, and himself being God, came to this earth, and the origin was heaven's glory as the Lord Jesus Christ came. And I think about not only the gift being special and being significant, but where it came from. I got helping some with Amy with the cards for this season, and I used a Mont Blanc pen that the greatest church in the world gave me for my birthday or Pastor Appreciation Sunday sometime. I have a pen, and it's too nice and too expensive. I don't carry it because I'm afraid I'll drop it somewhere, but I keep it in its box, and I get it out, and I write with it. But it's special because of the church giving it to me. You know, I have an old Camaro in my basement garage, and my dad gave it to me. And so gifts are not only special because of what they are. Sometimes it's a gift that isn't really that great, but because of who gave it, it is wonderful and you love it. I've got a pocket knife in my pocket right now that's given to me by a good friend and a deacon, and wanted to give it to me. And so I like that because it came from somebody with love. And I think about the origin of this gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give everybody the cakes out here, you know, and we try to be wholesome. I'm not talking about their ingredients. I don't know what's in them, but it tastes great. So we try to be wholesome and benevolent in that. Yes, we want to give that out. But I don't know about those things. But here's one thing I do know, that God's gift of Jesus Christ is thoroughly right from the beginning to the end. You'll find no fault in him, as the Bible says about when Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." Well, he said a mouthful there. He is altogether lovely. He is the bright morning star. He's the gift of God through Jesus Christ, and he left heaven's glory. I think about the origin, but if you would look down at verse number 14 in our passage. It's hard to read these verses because we've heard them so much, but it's hard to read them and notice anything different. But look at what the Bible says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." I see not only the origin of the gift, but the forgiveness of the gift. Because the only way that we could all get peace, have peace offered to us, is through forgiveness of our sin. Because our sin is what put us in a place we did not have peace. I want to fast forward you to John the Baptist after Jesus lived on this earth 33 years or so. And as he came down, and John was the forerunner. John just about 6 months older than him as far as humanity here on earth. And John was baptizing in the river there. And he sees Jesus coming down. And you remember the verse as well as I do. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The same sin that you and I dealt with is what the people of that day were dealing with. It's our sin against God, and it's the same sin that we need to have taken away from us through Jesus Christ, and that is the only way that we can have peace on earth. And so we see this, and we see the forgiveness of the gift of God. That babe in the manger in Luke 2 would go to the cross and would provide a clean setting for you and me if we put our faith in him. Soaps, you know, shower soaps have forever used as their marketing ploys to get you to see that they're better than everybody else. Ivory soap was the one that says it floats and is 99.44% pure. And so they would use that as a slogan in my early teen years. One of the ones was Zest, Z-E-S-T. And so the commercials would be on TV. You're not clean unless you're zestfully clean. And they're trying to impress you with it. Old Spice, you're the man that your man could smell like. You've seen all these ads and all of these different soaps trying to get you to see that you need them to be acceptable. Well, about all of us used something in the last few hours, maybe in the kids' department, last few days, unless mom was not checking up on them, maybe however often they do it. But we see that these soaps, and they want us to clean them. But it doesn't matter if you showered and used every single one of those products. I went down through Walmart the other day, and I took a wrong turn. I went to the HBA, Health and Beauty Aids. I said, goodness gracious, we must have a lot of problems because there's lotions and potions and all kinds of stuff in there for things I didn't even know we had wrong with us. But somebody's selling it to you. So if you want to look younger, you want to look older, you want to look skinner, you want to look fatter, why would you? But you want to do all these things, there's something in there for you. And so all of those things, you could use all of them and a lot more, but after you use them, it won't be very long till you're going to need to use them again. And I think about that superficial clean that you get from some of those products, but that's not at all what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to cleanse us not from our filth on the outside, but our sin, our filth on the inside. There's a problem we have in our society. The problem is that none of us want to admit that we do anything wrong. Oh, we don't mind bumping into somebody. Oh, I'm sorry, I bumped into you. I apologize. That's just a little surface thing. We don't mind admitting that. But when it gets to the weightier matters, none of us want to admit that anything that you do or anything you say or any lifestyle that you live is wrong. Because people will say it like this, you have to do what's right for you. You have to find your truth. You have to find what works for you. Oh no, if that's true in your life, that's your truth. But the problem is if your truth or my truth doesn't match up with the truth, then our truth becomes a lie. Because there can only be one truth. And so the problem that we have in today is that we don't like to say that we have a sin problem. But I can tell you this, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's ego, unless our egos need hurt. And I'm not trying to do that, but our real truth of the scriptures is that everybody has a sin problem. And what the beauty of the Christmas story is that Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, born in that manger, born to die for your sins and mine. So I see the forgiveness of that gift, that babe in the manger. As the songwriter said, and he was certainly right, there is power in the blood. I think about these things, but I give you one last one. Look at verse number 17 and 18. The Bible says, and when they had seen it, the shepherds, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Not only do I see the origin and the forgiveness, but let me take a little bit of liberty here and just say what has to have happened. There were some people in verse number 18, when they wondered about the shepherds' tidings, there were some people that neglected. I see the neglect of the gift. The truth is that many people in that day chose to ignore the message of the shepherds, maybe because they were shepherds, maybe because they weren't very high in the social ladder, perhaps because people were busy, because this isn't a convenient time, maybe because I'll check on it later. Whatever the reason would be, there's many of those people in verse number 18 that would have had to have said, I'm not going to think about that right now. Do you understand? Think about this with me for now. If there was a person that get a hard reject on the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody told him that the Christ child came and the Christ child didn't stay a babe in the manger, but he grew and went to an old rugged cross, which we put in the front of the church just so we can remember that this is what the message is needs to go. So somebody gets told that and they say, I don't believe that. I reject it. Well, we understand that the scripture says if we don't have the forgiveness of Christ on our sins, over our sins, to get those taken away, then we stand responsible for them. So that person, hard reject. Well, can I have you think with me for just a moment? What about somebody who doesn't give a hard reject, but instead they give a procrastination? That's interesting. I'll think about that later. That's interesting. I'm not going to do anything about it now, but one of these days I will. Can you see that if you keep that procrastination attitude for long enough, the end result is the same as the person who gave a hard rejection? Because one of those days, that procrastination will go so long that your life is over and you have no more opportunity to receive Christ. So I see not only those other points, but the neglect of the gift, and it's happening today. I read in preparation for this about a ship, the most famous ship, I'm sure, that wrecked, the Titanic. Movies and documentaries and all kinds of studies and work has been done to dive and to look. But there's an interesting thing about the Titanic. As you read stories about it, many of the lifeboats that were sent off of the Titanic were not full of people. Some of the lifeboats only had a portion of what their capacity would hold on them. You say, well, why would that be? Well, here's what reports said. At the beginning, people would have known, the crash into the iceberg, I guess. But at the beginning, when the staff was trying to load people onto the boats, the music was still playing. Dancing and different things was still going on. The party was still happening. And so the people that were asked to get on the boats, women and children first, but even the women that could get on, and then some of the husbands wouldn't let their wives get on at the beginning. And the reason it was stated was because there's still, everything was there. It was, everything was still going on, the music and the things of the ship. And it was assumed that the threat wasn't very legitimate. That I'm all right. So much so that one of the lifeboats that I read about, lifeboat number 7, had a capacity of 65. Only 28 souls were aboard as it floated away from the ship. Now, by the time it got to the part where it was evident that everybody needed to get there, then the lifeboats were overcrowded and they could not get everybody on, and many people went to a watery grave. But at the beginning, staff trying to get them to come, get on the boat for safety. Now, you know I'm a gospel preacher, so you know where the end of this story is going. Trying to get them to come on the boat. But because their attention was looking at everything else, and they said, we don't need to get on the boat. Everything seemed okay. And I couldn't help but, as I read that, think about that's the way many of the folks that you and I know are today. You maybe tell them about Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus would save you, and your life would even be better down here, not to mention, of course, after. But they look at all the stuff going on around them, and there's this incorrect assessment that everything looks okay. My job is fine. My life is fine. My family is relatively healthy. I don't need anything else. Just like those people that rejected the lifeboat. Many folks are rejecting the lifeboat of Jesus Christ right now. And as folks are listening, and then folks are in this room listening, if that's you, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I love gifts. I think everybody does. I've heard people say, though, about gifts, when it gets down to the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, we love to get and give gifts. But I've heard people tell me, they said that Jesus Christ wants to be your Savior. He wants to forgive you of your sins. You don't have to do anything to get to heaven. I've heard people say, I don't think that's right. I don't want a handout. I don't want to get a freebie. And I appreciate their sentiments at the beginning because it's a character problem. It's a character issue. They say, well, I don't want to just live this way and then ask God to forgive me and free and clear that nothing has to be done. Because we've all been taught, most of us have been taught to work. My dad taught all of us kids to work, character, and that's good. But my friend, if you're those people that I've talked to before, when you say, I don't want to take a free pass, I don't think it's right if I live this way and then I don't do anything to get to heaven. If you take that stand and you say, I don't want a free pass, my friend, I hate to be the one to tell you, well, I don't hate to be, I love to be the one to tell you that that's the only way you can go to heaven, through the free gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. I applaud your character to say, I don't think that's right. You ought to work for things. You should. But this one you can't work for. Because you see that the Bible says all of us have sinned. All of us are under the condemnation of sin. All of us have fallen short of what God wanted, and perfection is what would be required to get to heaven. You say, Brother John, how can that be then? Nobody would go to heaven. Exactly. Without the free gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, you wouldn't. And so this morning, the neglect of the gift of God is the most dangerous thing that I can think of. Because Scripture says that Jesus came to died for the sins of the whole world, not for our sins only, but also the sins of the whole world. But the issue is that many people reject, yes. But then I believe that a lot of people I've talked to, it's not a rejection, it's just a neglect. I'm not going to take care of it right now. I don't want to be too religious. I don't want to do this. The neglect. But again, I tell you, if you neglect long enough, then the result is the same as a rejection. And the problem is, you and I, we don't know when our last day is. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So everybody in this room, everybody that's listening, could I challenge you this Christmas season to do some soul searching? Was there a time when you received the gift of God? You received Jesus Christ for the full forgiveness of your sins. That's not something you do at the front of a church or a sanctuary or any other kind of building. Necessarily you can, but that's something that you do when you receive Jesus' forgiveness of sins. You put your faith, trust, reliance, and dependence on Him. Have you ever done that? My friend, if you have not, please, don't let the devil sell you on lies that you can one of these days clean up enough to get your own self to heaven. It can never happen. Because even if you could be very, 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 very good from now on, what about the things you've done in the past? And then let's say that it was just from now on, which it's not, but let's say for a moment it is. That means you're going to have to be perfect from here forward. My friend, we're all sinners by nature. We need the free gift of salvation. Don't buy the lie that says you must work for it. Here's the thing. If you could get or keep your salvation, you would have to be a different person than you are, because I don't know you as well as others, and you don't know me as well as others, but we know enough about each other that we've already let one another down enough to know that if we're getting in on our merit, something is horribly wrong. The gift of God. Have you received Christ as your Savior? Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, the gift of God that you gave, salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. What a precious gift from heaven for forgiveness of our sins. I pray, dear Lord, if there's one or several that does not yet know you as Savior, that they would accept the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, please, I pray, draw them, make it very clear, and we'll thank you for it. As the ladies find something and you hear them play, would you stand together if you're able to, as you hear them play? And if God's speaking to your heart this morning, leading you, urging you, you say, I don't know what's going on in my life, in my heart. If they have an urge in your heart to come to Jesus Christ, my friend, follow the Lord. This is the greatest place on the earth that you could be. Would you come to Jesus Christ? If you're here today, not sure that you're saved, not sure that you're on your way to heaven, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right down here in front of the pulpit. Love to take a Bible and show you how to be sure heaven's your home. My friend, don't procrastinate. Don't neglect it. Don't wait till some other time. Don't spend another night worrying about where you'll spend eternity. Get it settled. Get it nailed down. Know for sure Christ is yours and you are His. This could be the best Christmas you've ever had. Maybe there's some other spiritual need you have. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come present yourself for membership. Maybe you're saved, but you need to be baptized. Would you step out and come? As they play through another verse, would you come? Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's wonderful to see this sun shining through there. I know it's going to be cold this evening, but I challenge you to be here tonight at 6:30. This choir is going to do a wonderful job. And choir members, I think you've got all the instructions for this afternoon that you need. But we're looking forward to it. If you can't come, if you're not able to be here tonight, be sure to pray. We are praying for souls to be saved in the service tonight. And I don't want you to miss it if you can be here. But if not, please pray for that. And Amy and I will be back in the lobby afterwards. If you need anything, then please stop by and see us. Brother Daniel, won't you come and pray for us as we dismiss? And then we'll be off on our way for this afternoon.
If you are gluten-free, there's a couple of gluten-free ones. They don't have an overabundance of them, but you can just see one of the ushers. They can help you get those as well. Father, thank you for the day you've given to us. Thank you for letting us be in church this morning. Lord, it has certainly been a joy just to think about the things that we've gotten to with the songs that we sang, the message the pastor just delivered, the time that we spent around one another. Lord, it's certainly been a blessing. I pray you'd bless as everyone goes, keep them safe. I pray you would bless the program tonight, that as the choir sings and the groups do as well and the acting goes forth, that the message would go straight to the heart of someone who's here tonight, and Lord, that they would be softened enough to yield their heart, to put their faith in you, find that that's the most wonderful decision that they could ever make. Bless the afternoon, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.